Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coffee with the Coder for January the 30th, 2017. We've got some amazing questions for you this morning. Thank you for submitting them. They're in different venues, so we've got some from the physician office and some from the hospital, and we're eager to hear Paula's responses. So we want to thank you for joining Coffee with the Coder, this free service that we put out every other Monday. It is possible that we might increase the level if the questions become too much to handle in 10 minutes, but we don't want to take your whole day. We just want to have 10 minutes, possibly a couple minutes over that, and let's get back to work, okay? So welcome, Paula, this morning.
Thank you, Pam. Good morning. Sure, it's great to see everyone on the line today.
Oh, yes, yes. Lots more names. Thank you for telling your friends about Coffee with the Coder, because that's how we're getting lots of questions daily at aq-iq.com, and we're happy to put your questions in. So let me start off with this first question from Mary in a physician office. Can a consult be from another specialty or the ER when clearly that doctor is not going to continue to participate in that patient's care? I wouldn't think so, but I want to get it from an expert. The only time I see this happening is if the patient has two different specialty problems and both doctors are going to be managing the patient, like when a consult is called in for a patient about to have surgery for a problem that will affect the surgery, and they're asking for an opinion from another medical doctor. Am I thinking clearly here? Also, how about nurse practitioners? Can they still ask for a consult, or would the request need to be signed by a physician?
The request can be from multiple sources, including, of course, chiropractors and nurse practitioners, et cetera. The coding guidelines say that the request should be from a physician or other appropriate source. The AMA does not differentiate or clarify what is the other appropriate source. If it's within the scope of the practice, which would be determined by state laws, that could be determine this, whether or not it is another appropriate source. A consult can be from another specialty, and oddly enough, what you say makes sense, but ER docs are not excluded from that. So sometimes, ER docs may also have their own practices, and that may be why they're not excluding those ER docs, because, we don't expect those patients to go back. The ER doc might send the patient over, but we don't expect those patients to go back to the other physician. So for a consultation, and we're talking, non-Medicare, of course, because Medicare no longer covers those consultation visits. At any rate, just to say sometimes those ER docs may have their own practice. So I'm not really clear on, why they didn't exclude ER docs, but that's the only reason, the logic that I can come up with. So, Pam, another question?
Yes, that's very clear, and I apologize for that sound in the middle of it, so I'm going to fix that. The second question is also from a physician office question. It says, does the ROS and the exam of an E&M encounter have to be two separate sections in the medical record documentation? This is from Donna.
The review of system, of course, should be addressed if it is appropriate, of course. So there are some encounters where, it's not required. You're thinking about the new patient visit versus the established patient visit, and those new patient visits, you would have to address the review of systems because you've got the history in which the review of systems is a part of, the examination, and the medical decision-making components, which all three are required when you have a new patient visit. But on an established patient visit, that may not be required because you only require two of those three elements, the history, exam, and medical decision-making. So either the history and exam, history and medical decision-making, the exam and medical decision-making, two of those three components. So it may not be, required, if you will. When appropriate, the review of system and examination are two separate components. And if both are addressed, it may be difficult to determine one from the other if they're addressed in the same section of the documentation, if you will. The documentation guidelines, even though they're written in the order of history, exam, and medical decision-making, and review of systems is a part of that history, it doesn't say that a physician can't put any piece of the documentation in any piece of the E&M visit encounter notes. So, for example, during the examination portion, the physician could actually speak to some of the review system components. The problem with that would be that from a review perspective, it could be difficult to determine what is examination versus what is review systems. So a best practice would be to differentiate those items in the documentation itself. Pam, number three.
That helps a lot. Okay, yes, got two more, and hopefully we'll have time for all of it, maybe three. We're going to move over to the hospital now. And does stage one diastolic CHF have an ICD-10 CM code? Carol wants to know.
Actually, stage is not identified in the code for heart, in the codes for heart failure. So, Carol, what you would do is report that as an unspecified diastolic heart failure, which the code is I-50.30. So stage, you know, sometimes our physicians like to make up words and add in information. We know that. We've been in the field a long time anyway. But, you know, they like to add in adjectives and different things describing the encounter. But stage is not one of those things that we use to identify the code for congestive heart failure.
Thank you. And now Sandra from a physician office wants to know, would a new patient with a fracture be considered low or moderate? And here's an example. There's a 5-year-old with right displaced clavicle fracture. Doctor did x-ray, no prescription. The plan is for immobilizer, repeat x-ray in 2 weeks. Sandra thinks this is 99203, but doctor thinks it's 99204.
Well, I wouldn't want to answer that complete question. Of course, it depends on all factors regarding the documentation of the history, the examination, and the medical decision-making. So in order to give you a firm yes, it's this or that, I would need to see the complete encounter note. However, based on the information that you've provided and thinking about only the components of the medical decision-making components, which are, you know, the number of diagnoses or the amount of complexity, or the number of diagnoses or treatment options, the test or amount of data reviewed, and the, of course, the table of risk. So thinking about those three things, it certainly doesn't sound like a level 4 new patient visit, which is 99204. But again, I would want to see the entire document in order to, you know, properly tell you, it, you know, what I believe as far as, you know, does it even meet the 99203 litmus test?
Well, that is important. You always have to review the entire amount of documentation, yes? Okay, I think maybe you'll have time for this one more right here. This one is from a hospital, and Mike asks, what are your thoughts on billing cultures? They typically take 3 to 4 days for the result to come back, and that might cause a late charge on the account. Can they bill when they're ordered, or should we bill them on result?
Oh, wow, yeah, and, you know, cultures sometimes can be run a few times. It may take a little research in your facility, but I would look at the process, the difficulty with billing those cultures based on when they're ordered is, you know, I guess sometimes those orders are not followed through on. And so in that case, you would be billing for a service that wasn't performed. So in order to alleviate the risk of that, I would, you know, only bill those cultures at the point that they are performed. You know, unfortunately, you know, of course, you don't want to bill for things, not unfortunately, but of course, you don't want to bill for things that you're not performing. And, you know, as the culture is performed, perhaps there is a situation where in your facilities, as soon as the sample is gathered that, you know, and it's determined that the culture is being performed, then, you know, maybe at that point is when the charges should occur.
Thank you. Well, we're bumping up against the end of our time. I would like to remind everyone to please hop over to Facebook, look for aq-iq.com, and like our page. That will keep you up to date on Coffee with the Coder, and you can also visit at aq-iq.com on just the web. We've got some awesome things on our website for you, and we also have all the recordings of Coffee with the Coder in case you haven't been able to attend all of them and you'd like to review the previous answers. So please submit your questions there. And we look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks on February the 13th for our next episode of Coffee with the Coder. Thank you so much.